Thank you, Mr. Hall. You know, when I have lots of stories about things I did when I was 19, 20 years old. But when I was about 19, 20 years old, I used to hang out with a bunch of college buddies, and we'd work on cars, and Sundays, you know, for lunch, we'd go over and we'd get the best chicken burritos on the planet over at El Pollo Loco. Well, one Sunday morning, as our habit, we went to El Pollo Loco, and my brother wasn't there that morning because he had some school stuff. It was also during Days of Unleavened Bread. And for those who don't know, flour tortillas have leavening. I was scarfing up that burrito. I was hungry. It was the greatest tasting burrito on the planet. My brother walks in the door. I was 75 to 90% done with the burrito. And he said, "You're not supposed to open. You're not supposed to be eating that." I mean, why can that? You know what? I was mad at him for a while because my first thought was, why couldn't you have waited for another 5 minutes? Let me finish my burrito, then I'll go repent. But anyway, I stopped. When he reminded me of Days of Unleavened Bread, I had to, you know, I put the burrito down and I was grumbling, you know. But we all have stories like that, don't we? We go through the preparation time to get all the leavening out of our house. We look in nooks and crannies. Lo and behold, what do we find? We eat the donut at the office, or we find an old sandwich in our hunting bag. I did that too, by the way. You know, a year later, I found a sandwich in my hunting bag, and, you know, like, oh, that means, sorry, I didn't clean it out. So anyway, today I decided what we should do is review the lessons of leavening and lack of leavening that we should be focusing on in preparation for the Days of Unleavened Bread. So anyway, to start with, let's go back to one of the major commands for it. Exodus 12 is where I chose to go. Exodus 12. And we will start in verse 15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leavening from your houses. For whoever eats leavening bread from the first day until the last day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. And down in verse 17, so you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on the same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout our generations as an everlasting ordinance. In verse 18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. And verse 19, for 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavening in all your dwelling. You shall eat unleavened bread. Well, let's break it apart. And in actual fact, if you didn't catch it, which I'm sure you did, there are three instructions there. Up in verse 15, 19, and 20, we'll go back to 15, and it says, on the first day, you shall remove leavening from your house. That's a given. We've heard sermons, and we've done that for years. Look through all the nooks and crannies, open the refrigerator, look in the diaper bags, clean the cars out, get it all out. And that's also referenced in other scriptures that, you know, it's supposed to be, we're supposed to remove it. And, of course, the symbology there is quite clear, isn't it? We are supposed to get sin out. Symbology is clear. The second one is, you shall not eat leavened bread. You shall eat no leavening. And again, verse 15, 19, and 20 talk about that. In verse 15 again, whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Now, we don't seem to have a concept for that being cut off. The closest thing I could think of for being cut off would be like excommunication by the Catholic Church. You're basically booted out of the community. Or some places you could say maybe it's like a divorce. But in the olden days, from when I grew up, it was being disfellowshipped. You didn't want to get disfellowshipped from the church. And also, I was talking to friends here in the area. I mean, I'm not Southern, but the Baptist community is very, very strong around here. If you don't go to the local Baptist church, you don't do business in the town. It would ruin your livelihood. And it would be exactly the same thing. You eat unleavened bread, you're booted out of the community, and guess what? You're not participating, no business, nothing. But the third lesson here is one that I'd really like to focus on today. It's one that probably gets looked over more than any other of the lessons, but I argue that it's probably, if anything, the most important one. And we will go back to verse 15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And in verse 18, and you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month of Even. And in verse 20, in all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. And you know, the irony is, if you jump across the page to chapter 13, in verse 6 and 7, it also mentions, and it mentions twice in verse 6 and 7, that you shall eat unleavened bread. And in fact, let's go over to one of our famous scriptures, you know, Leviticus 23, and let's read that one. Leviticus 23, and in verse 6, on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread on the first day is customary work, and it goes on and finishes up. The truth of the matter is, in Leviticus 23, it makes even no mention of removing the leavening, nor does it make any mention of taking it out of your house. Not that you're not supposed to do it, but here in Leviticus 23, the focus is eating the unleavened bread. So what does that mean? That means, I mean, I've talked to people throughout the years. My dad was the one who brought this idea up to me. He says he's not a bread eater. He could go a year without eating a piece of leavened bread. But that week is not days of lack of leavened bread. It is actually days of unleavened bread. And you know, if you look at it and you think about it, I can tell you about from my experiences, we were gung-ho when I was a kid about cleaning the house. We started in January, no kidding. And we would tear the whole house apart, literally. The garage, everywhere. We checked the dog food. I was exhausted by the time Days Unleavened Bread showed up. It's like, yeah, we're done. I don't have anything else to do. Well, unfortunately, the job is only half done when you hit Days Unleavened Bread. An actual fact, if you really look at it and what it talks about in Leviticus 23, or here what we were just reading in Exodus 12, the work has just started. It actually just begins. So, again, I ask, why is this so important? And it is for a couple reasons. One, how do you get away or break a bad habit? It's more than just stopping the bad habit. You have to replace it with a good habit. And now this is something that's very common and known in the alcoholic community. My mom's brother was an alcoholic, and he went to AA. And now I am not an addiction counselor by a long shot, but what's one thing that they one thing that they preach in AA? The 12-step program. And they give, you know, you have your partners, so if you're tempted, it's a very active program from what I understand. So instead of drinking, you participate in this 12-step program. So you replace the bad with the good. Now, the irony is that is also a very scriptural principle. Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 12. Matthew 12 and in verse 43. And this is kind of a demonstration, by the way, of nature hates a vacuum. And in verse 43, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes out through dry places seeking rest and finds none. And in verse 44, Christ says, then he says, I will return to my house from where I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. And in verse 45, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter into a dwelling there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. So it shall also be with this wicked generation. Christ is saying, you get the bad out and you put the good in. You have to put the good in when you take the bad out. And honestly, that is a scripture. That's also, David talked about that in Psalms. Let's go back to the book of Psalms. There are two that I would like to read. And in fact, when I was preparing for this, it jumped in because I started humming a hymn. A hymn that we're all very familiar with. Psalm number 34. Psalm number 34. And in verse 12. And by the way, this one's quoted by Peter in 1 Peter 3:11. But Psalm 34 and verse 12. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking good. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Get rid of the evil and do good. And in verse 12, he says, who desires life? That who gets rid of evil and puts in the good. And let's turn over this one I really like in chapter 37. And this is going to kick me off to my last point. Verse 37, or chapter 37 and verse 27. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. So what is that saying? You're going to depart from evil, do what is good, and let's rephrase that last statement, and you will have life forevermore. Does it remind you of anything? How about next weekend? How about the Passover? How do we have life forevermore? Through one thing and one thing only, the unleavened bread of Christ, our Passover. And let's just go back, and I just have to. It would be a crime if I didn't quote this or if we didn't read it together. John 6. John 6, and we will probably review it, and we always do prior to Passover, if not at service. And in verse 7, most surely I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life, life forevermore. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And let's jump down to verse 53. Let's make it 54, actually. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I shall raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. 56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Passover symbols. Absolutely. That's what it's talking about. But what does it lead into? Days of unleavened bread. And what is the instruction? To eat unleavened bread. There is actually more focus about I had all the scriptures written down. I don't have them with me at the moment. But there's more references in the Old Testament when it talks about days of unleavened bread to eating unleavened bread than there is about not eating leavened bread and putting leavening out. So that begs another question. Can you put leavening out or put sin out can you eat leavening, or can you take the leavening out of your house or sin without eating unleavened bread, without replacing it? My first answer was yes, but I'm going to back off and say, sorta. What do you get when you take the leavening or you take the leavening out and you don't put the unleavened back in? You get a real nice, moral, kind person, and that's it. And of course, in John, Christ addressed that in verse 58, John 6:58. The bread, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. You can take the bad out, but unless you put the good in, the unleavened bread of Jesus Christ, then you have no life. You will die. Period. That's it. So, the bottom line is, God gives us a command to do both. Remove sin and put unleavening or Christ, our Passover, in. The job isn't done when we finish cleaning for days of unleavened bread. It just isn't finished. In fact, the job is only half done. The job doesn't start until day one. And what's the command during days of unleavened bread? Eat unleavened bread. You know, when I've sort of gotten into the habit, you know, the Bulerowski's, not that we're the standard, and I'd be remiss if I said that, but what we tend to do every morning when we get up for breakfast, we get the box of matzahs out and say, hey boys, here, have your piece of matzah, have your piece of unleavened bread, and you know, we all get really kind of quiet when we actually eat our unleavened bread. Because I can tell you, I can only speak for me, but I am actually giving a small prayer. A small prayer that basically says, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this unleavened bread of life. Thank you for this whole process that you have given me and everyone so we can become like you. We can become sinless because there is no other way. And it can't be done unless you take the sin out. But it has to be replaced with the unleavened bread of Jesus Christ. Now I decided I would like to go back to Psalm 37 because I do like that one. Let's go back because I think that really sums everything up here that I'm trying to say. Psalm 37 again. I just turned from it. Psalm 37. Depart from evil. Remove sin. And do good. Eat the bread of Jesus Christ. And dwell forevermore. So next week, enjoy your unleavened bread.